Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. If you hadn't figured it out yet, I like the book of Psalms. It's such a comforting book. And yet it's so appropriate for today, the things in the book of Psalms. Now, the plan is, unless the Lord changes the plan, next Sunday morning, to be preaching a sermon on hell. So, if you've got lost friends or family in the area, and you can get them to come to church, you should get them to come next week. Not because of me, but because hell is something that people need to understand and realize that it's a real place that exists. And Lord willing, next Sunday morning we'll be doing a biblical explanation of hell and even why it exists. So study it out over the week and see what you've come up with. Psalm chapter 37. If you would, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Excuse me. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Father, once again we come before your throne, thanking you so much for the privilege it is to be in your house today. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to live in a country where at this moment we still have freedom to meet and worship you. Lord, we ask you to be with us tonight. Open our hearts and minds to the things of your Word. Help us to understand a little bit better, something that will help us to love you more, to serve you more, to serve you better. We ask these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. All right, y'all be seated. I want to give you six principles of the godly life. Just six things here in Psalm chapter 37 that have to do with a Christian living the way God wants them to live. And yes, I have a tendency to dwell on Christians in my preaching because, to be honest with you, Christians are the biggest problem this country has. The reason I say that is too many Christians have not been willing to be the answer to answer the problems in America. They have become the problem because they've gotten away from God. They've left the precepts of God. They left the examples that God has given us in the Bible about how God wants us to serve Him and what He wants us to do in our daily lifestyles. And these are six things here that I believe that God has for each of us on a daily basis. Verse 1, it says, fret not. Now, you ever worry about anything? You ever worry about what's going to happen in this country? You ever worry about the evil things that are happening in the political scene in this country? The Bible says don't worry about them. It says, I know what's going on. And God understands. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, if you would. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 24. It says, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. The result of evildoers, and this is what verse 1 is talking about. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. But he keeps going. He says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. And in Proverbs chapter 1, he talks about these things like here. God said, listen, I called. I asked ask you to come. I ask people to do these things. And you wouldn't do it. But look at verse 26. It's interesting. The result of people not doing what God says for them to do. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Talking about the world, isn't it? Talking about ungodly man. But you know what? Unfortunately, sometimes Christians get wrapped up in that same thing. Christians get wrapped up in saying, I don't want anything to do with what God says. I want to do life my way. And we need to stop and honestly consider, have we allowed ourselves to go down the path of fretting because of what is happening in the world, being worried about what's happening around us, and not allowing God to give us the peace and the joy and the happiness that He promises to those of us that will allow Him to give us those things by not worrying, because God knows what's around the corner. He does. There's many times in my life when I've been in dark places and I'd be walking in a church and the lights would be off and I didn't know the building. And you worry about what's around the corner. You're going to trip over something. You're going to fall. You're going to run head on into a wall that you don't know there, or a door that's shut. You know, our life's the same way. A lot of times we're headed into a dark period in our life. Trials and tribulations that are thrown at us. Things that we have to go through to strengthen us as Christians. Aren't you glad we serve a God who knows what's around that corner? And He knows how to cause us to miss the worst problems that would cause us the most pain. And I'm so glad we serve a God that loves us that way. So we need not to fret about all these things. Verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Proverbs 28, 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Now, somebody tell me, how does a wise man walk?
With God.
With God. He walks in the footsteps of God. Just like a child following his dad in the snow, he always tries to step in his dad's footprints because they're already cleared off. And if we follow God that way, it's going to make a big difference in our life. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Trust in the Lord. You say, well, God's laid on my heart to do this for so-and-so, but I can't afford it. My friend, you can't afford not to. If God lays on your heart to do something, you can't afford not to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how exorbitant it seems to you. If God, not me, not your brother in Christ, if God says to do it, you need to trust in the Lord and allow Him the privilege of giving back to you because you obeyed His command. I remember I was in a church in Richmond, Virginia, and we had gone in and built them a building. And they weren't in it yet. They were just finishing off some things. And I went there to preach a three-day revival in the book of Revelation for Pastor Robinson. And he had a blind man in the church that was just living on Social Security. That's all he had. And he was sitting on the front row. And he got there a few minutes late. And the service had already started, so I didn't get to speak to him before the service. Sweet guy. And I walked up to him after the service, and I knew he didn't have much money. And he shook my hand, and there was a $5 bill in it. And he said, God laid on my heart to give you that. And I stuck it in my pocket. And about 3 weeks later, Brother Robinson called me, and he said, Brother Don, He said, Brother Jim just gave me a tremendous blessing. He said, when he got home, he gave you that $5 bill. When he got home, he said, somebody that he didn't even know walked up on his doorstep and handed him a $50 bill.
Amen.
You think God doesn't take care of his own?
Amen.
I remember a story told by Dr. Beecham Vick. He pastored the Detroit Baptist Temple in the 40s and 50s when it was in its heyday before it went liberal. And Dr. Vick told of a lady in his church, and it was a big church. They were running several thousand. And this was back in the 50s when making $5,000 a year was a good bit of money. And this lady worked at night cleaning offices, and she made $100 a week is what she made. And the secretary called Dr. Vick in and said, Dr. Vick, said, something's wrong with our books. Said, this lady only makes $100 a week. I know what she makes. And she said, look at this. And he looked at it, and in the column where it said tithe, she said her $500. And in the column where it said missions, there was $150,000 in the column where it said missions. And he said, this can't be. So they called the bookkeeper and said, that's right. Said, it was there. I have proof of it. And so he and his wife went to visit her. And she said, well, Dr. Vick said, last year at the missions conference, said, I promised God that every penny that came to me above my salary, I would give to missions. She said, I'd be walking down the street and some complete stranger would hand me a $100 bill. She said, I was home one day, and an envelope slid under the door, and I opened the door and didn't see anybody there. And she said, I opened the envelope and there was $5,000 in it. She said, I was at work one night and there was a thick envelope, manila envelope in the trash can, and it looked like it shouldn't be there. And I picked it up and looked in there, and there was a lot of money in there. So the next morning I went to the office manager, and the office manager said, no, said, that's not our money. Said, you better take it to the police. So he said, I took it to the police, and a month later, the sergeant at the desk, now I'm going to tell you right now, this was God in this. A month later, the sergeant at the desk called me and said, ma'am, said, nobody has claimed that money. It's yours. There's $50,000 in it. She gave every penny of it to missions because she had promised, you know what? God provided. She trusted in the Lord, and God provided. She trusted in the Lord, and she did good, and God provided.
Amen.
Two principles. Don't worry, and trust in the Lord. The next one, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Let me ask you something. How many grandparents are in here? How many? Okay. Grandparents. Now, I'm going to say this, and some of you won't understand it for a few years. Grandparents know what delight is. I tell you what, I love my kids. I'd do anything for my kids. But my grandkids are a delight. I delight in my grandchildren. I have more fun with my grandchildren. I enjoy my kids. But I have more fun with my grandchildren probably because I can just send them home and say, take care of them. But you know how that goes. But that's what he's getting across here. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Now you notice he said from doing your pleasure on God's day. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Notice this. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. What's Sunday? It's the Lord's Day. We call it the Lord's Day. But do we honestly give the Lord the Lord's Day? I remember my daddy's parents. Now, Granddad Kennedy, he was born in 1875, lived to be 99 years old. He and Granny were married for 84 years. Granny was 13 and Granddad was 15 when they got married. Granny was full-blood Indian. Granddad was Irish and part Indian. And his name was Columbus Erastus Kennedy. Everybody called him Granddad Lum. You didn't dare call him Columbus or Erastus. He'd beat the living daylights out of you. He was Granddad Lum. But I remember on Sunday, if you were at Granddad's, you did nothing. It was the Lord's Day. You went to church on Sunday morning. Granny already had the meal prepared. You ate. The women cleared the table and put the threw the scraps away, but rinsed the dishes and put them in the sink. That was all. And you sat, if you were in the house, you sat and you listened to radio programs that were biblically based the rest of the afternoon until time for church on Sunday night. Now, if you could, now Granddad didn't see too well. So if you could sneak out, you could go out and play, which most of the grandkids did when we were there. But Granddad expected you to reverence God's day. Listen, it's amazing how many people are in church on Sunday morning and how many are there on Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
And yet it's the Lord's day. And we need to delight ourselves in the Lord and the things that God does. He says there, "And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You know what that means? It doesn't mean that if a 12-year-old kid decides he wants a Ferrari, God's going to give it to him. What it does mean is that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that God is going to make our desires what He wants them to be. Because that's what we're going to want. If we delight in the Lord, our desire is going to be to serve and please God, and God is going to fulfill those desires. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22. It says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Listen, folks. We can have many burdens, but if we commit them to God and truly, honestly lay them at God's feet and say, here they are, Lord. You take care of it for me. You do it in Your time. You do it in Your way. But have Your will, Lord, in my life. That is committing our way to the Lord. And that's what God wants. That's what we need, folks. You say, well, I have these things that I want to do in life. I have goals for my life. I've been taught to have goals in my life. And I have goals for my life. Well, that's all well and good, but my question is this. Are they goals that you set, or are they goals that God set? You see, the goals that we set, even though we may reach them, we may accomplish them, what good have they done us? But if God set those goals, then when they're reached, something worthwhile was accomplished. Something was given that was going to last for an eternity. Commit thy way unto the Lord. But do we? Do we? Verse 7. Some days I really like this one. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not because of him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, if you would please. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we have a tendency to get ahead of God, don't we? We get ahead of God, and when we do that, invariably we get in trouble. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I have some friends, and they're my friends, preachers who have gone with the progressive type music. in their churches. And the couple of times that I've been to churches, not realizing what was going on, where they had the progressive time music, I asked myself, where is the "be still and know that I am God"? Where is it? What has happened to it? We're raising another generation of young people on television that is just quick. It changes just like that. Over and over and over and over and over again. And young people are not taught today to sit, to patiently wait, and to consider. It has to go quick. It has to be colorful. It has to be loud. It has to be fast. And our churches, many times, are turning into the same thing. And we need to learn that God is in the still, small voice. God doesn't need all the bang-bang and the hoofla and the fol-de-rol. We're not trying to win people to Christ through all the hoofla and fol-de-rol, giving all the toys away and all that. We're trying to win Christ through telling people that Jesus loves them, living a lifestyle that is restful. The world's seeking rest, folks. It really is. It's seeking peace. And we're trying to win people to Christ by showing that the God that we serve offers those things to anybody that's willing to accept. And then allowing the Holy Spirit to work in a person's heart. You know, you're never going to win anybody to Christ until the Holy Spirit's working in their heart. Not going to happen. They're not going to get saved until the Holy Spirit works in their heart. And sometimes we get ahead of the Holy Spirit and we're not willing to be patient and wait on the Holy Spirit to do His work. We try to do it for Him. And that's when we cause problems. Rest in the Lord. Be still and know that God is God and He will do His will in His own time at His own pace. And don't worry about it because God knows what He's doing. John, Romans chapter 12 is the last one. It says, cease from anger. And I tell you what, there's a lot of anger in America today. A lot of anger. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. I wanted to show you this. This is a long reading from the Scripture, but it's something we need to stop and consider. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. The Bible says to abstain from all what? Appearance of evil. It doesn't say to abstain from evil. Let's get this right. Stop and consider what the Bible is saying. The Bible says to abstain from even the very appearance of evil. Let alone abstain from evil. Okay? So we need to be very careful when we study God's Word. He says, abhor. That means to literally hate that which is evil. But cleave. Draw that which is good to you. Okay? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Let me ask you this, and be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me. But be honest with yourself, because God already knows the answer, okay? Who would you rather hang around? Your Christian brothers in Christ or some lost people that you know? Who would you rather be with? I mean, be honest with yourself. Your best friends that you desire to sit down and watch the football game with, or that you desire to go sit down and visit with at the restaurant for 2 or 3 hours, are they your brothers and sisters in Christ, or are they lost people? Now, I'm not talking about just having lost people over so you can witness to them and being a good testimony to them. I'm talking about the people that you desire to hang around with. The Bible says we're to prefer our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? Verse 11, not slothful in business. Don't be lazy. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. I remember one time my wife and I, and this is about money again because money's important in today's society, I guess. We were in Bible college. I was working at JCPenney. I was making $2.59 an hour. I don't know how in the world they came up with that .9, but they did. And we didn't hardly have a dime to rub together. I mean, we were paying $92 a month for an apartment. And that included all the utilities, too. And we were struggling, paying our school bill and everything else. But a friend of ours had said something to my wife. Their pastor was coming to visit. Now, we're talking 1970 now, okay? So $5 went a long way in 1970 compared to where it goes today. And we had a $5 bill is all we had left. And this friend had mentioned to Lynn that their pastor was coming to visit them. And this was on Wednesday. And Harold didn't get paid until Friday. And their pastor liked breakfast. And they had no breakfast food in the house. Well, Lynn told that to me, so I pulled the $5 out of my billfold and stuck it in an envelope, and I said, go between classes when Nancy's in class, you slip out, and you go slip that in their box. So they slipped it in their box, and that afternoon, Lynn and I had a late class, and Nancy came over, look, and they were able to go buy breakfast food for their pastor, who was going to be there the next day. And they had a dime to their name at that time. You know what? The very next day, when we went to look in our box to see if there were any schedule changes or anything for Sunday, somebody had stuffed a $100 bill in there.
Wow.
I'll tell you, 1970, $100 went a long way. Folks, you can't outgive God. You can't do it. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Help your brothers and sisters in Christ in a financial need, in a spiritual need, in a prayer need, whatever it may be. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. God was way ahead of His time, wasn't He? Most people today, I remember a story out of New Jersey. This couple was trying to get to an exit off the Jersey Turnpike. I read about it in the paper. And they cut this guy off a little bit. So this guy followed him. And when the police came, pulled up behind him, this guy's girlfriend was hanging out the window with a baseball bat, beating the top of the car that had cut him off a little bit with a baseball bat. Now, folks, you know, we have a tendency, even as Christians, we get on the road, and the idiots driving on the road, we have a tendency not to act very nice to them sometimes. I know there's been a time or two I've felt like pulling up next to somebody and using a baseball bat on them. But we're not supposed to do that kind of thing. The Bible says, bless those that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That means don't worry about having all the expensive things. Be content with what God gives you. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think you're smarter than you are. Okay? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Six basic, very, very basic principles of the godly lifestyle. Don't worry. Fret not. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And cease from anger. Learn to live by these principles. And you'll have a much better testimony. You'll have a much better life. You'll have a much more peaceful life. You'll have a much happier life. Because God will give peace and joy and happiness and stillness into your soul that will radiate through your whole being. And you'll be able to see your friends actually come and start asking you, how in the world do you go through all these things and not lose your mind? You see the pictures of Haiti? And I understand. I understand the news media. I know how they stage some of these things you see on TV. Okay? And they'll go in and they'll say to this kid here, okay, we're going to put you on film. We want you to cry and hoot and holler and throw a big wall-eyed fit. I understand they do that sometimes, but I also understand that sometimes they don't have to. Sometimes, because of the despair of the soul, that's the way people are without Christ. But we need to show the other side. When the worry comes, when the fret comes, when all the problems come, we need to take them and say, Lord, here they are. They belong to You. I'm Your child. God, take care of them. Do this for me because You love me, because I love You. But how many of us are able to do that? How many of us are honestly able, during a time of crisis, to go to God and say with truth and honesty, God, I can't do this. You have to do it for me. God, may Your will be accomplished in this. How many of us are able to do that? How many of us are able to honestly go to our friend and say, Jesus loves you, and I would like to show you that love? The Bible says that we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. Okay? I look at that verse, and you know what I see? I don't think any of us here are ashamed of the gospel. Okay? I don't think anybody that's saved here is ashamed of the gospel. But you know what we're ashamed of sometimes? Ourself, our lifestyle, the mistakes that we've made in our life. It's kind of like the ad on television where the parent says, well, how can I talk to my kid about taking drugs? I took drugs 30 years ago. How can I tell my kid not to take drugs? That's the dumbest commercial I've ever in my life seen. It's just plain stupid. I can tell my children, even if I made the same mistake, I can tell my children, that's wrong, don't do it. You know what? We can tell our friends, you don't have to be in this constant turmoil, because Jesus will take that turmoil and He'll help you through it if you'll let Him come into your heart and save you. And those are ways that we can just be a testimony to people. We can take these six principles and live them every day. And I'd be willing to almost guarantee you, sooner or later, people are going to start coming to you and saying, well, what about? What about? What about? My youngest daughter worked, when she was in Bible college, my youngest daughter worked at Burger King. When she first went to work there, and the girls, the other girls that worked there, college-age girls, found out that she was still a virgin, they started making fun of her. And she said she just looked one of them right straight in the eye one day and said, you know what? You make fun of me all you want to, but my husband's going to have something nobody else has ever had. Amen. You know what happened? She got to lead four of those girls to the Lord. Amen. And every one of them started coming to her. Well, I've got a problem with so-and-so. What do I do? How do I handle it? And she was able to counsel those girls because she was living a godly lifestyle in front of them. and had a godly testimony to them. That's what we need, folks. These six principles can help us to have the godly lifestyle that God wants us to have.